Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
Every word that has been spoken into our lives, we lift up a cry to you, Lord, just as you have said in your way. Oh God, yes, as the rain cometh down and goeth not out, so shall you walk over your way and perform. We pray for the performance of your way. Oh God, now every word spoken into our life shall come to pass in the name of Jesus. We declare, oh God, that every word spoken into our lives shall come to pass in the mighty name of Jesus.
We want to take our anchor scriptures.
We want to read up 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 to 10. Prophet Jericho, you're welcome. First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 to 10.
First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 to 10.
Yes, please.
For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit.
Okay.
To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit.
Okay.
To another, faith by the same Spirit.
Let's end it there. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Can we read the book of John chapter 7, verse 38?
John chapter 7, verse 38.
Yes, please.
He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.
Verse 39, continue.
But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him will receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given.
So
because Jesus was not yet glorified.
Hallelujah. Our final reading is the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 2.
2 Corinthians.
To verse 7. Yeah.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 2 to 7.
Yeah.
For in this we grow earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven.
Okay.
If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent grown, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are born in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight.
For we walk by what?
Faith.
And not by what?
Sight.
All right. As we started last week, we spoke about the concept of faith, which has already been dealt with, I mean the basics, in the beginning of, in the whole of last year. And we said that this year, we are looking at what we call faith advanced. Our first series is faith advanced. We are moving forward into the advanced knowledge in faith. And we want to believe God that the mantle that is coming on us for the season we are falling into, we could create the enabling atmosphere for it to manifest. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you with me? Now, there are some two keynotes, or there is a keynote I want you to take with you today, which is very important, and it reflects what God wants to do in our life. And it will give us some perspective to be able to align with whatever is going on Sunday or in church. And I really want us to really follow what the Spirit is leading us to do. Now, this year, specifically as a church and individual, what God wants to build in us, or what God wants to do for us, is in the perspective of us being able to enter into our rightful place of possession. We are no more in those times where we need to be taught the fundamentals of the kingdom. This time it is about we having possession of what is being installed for us in the kingdom. Hallelujah. The Bible says, for God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in earth, in heavenly places. Now, this is the season for the manifestation of those things that God has said about us. Last week I said that this year is the journey of influence and prosperity. I hope you follow me. You remember that. So, in the quest of the influence and prosperity, there are places that God wants to take us to. That is our rightful places. There are things that God wants us to have, which belongs to us. The believer has certain possessions in store for him. When Jesus died and rose again, he broke the seal, and there were seven things that came out of it. One of it is power, another is wisdom. Another is what? Riches. Another is what? Glory. Another is what? Honor. These are the possessions that are in store for the believer. And God takes delight to see his children possessing what belongs to them. Hallelujah. So what we are doing this year It's very critical because we are not more treating things about general knowledge. No, we are walking into our heart, full possession. Our land that God has what? Promised us. Now, it's not about promise anymore. We've passed the level of promise. We have entered into the level of what? Reclaiming what God has given us. Just as Caleb went to Joshua and told him, you remember very well what Joshua, Moses said in the presence of the whole God said to Moses, therefore give me this land. Give me this mountain that I may possess it. It is a time of possession. However, in our preparation to possess what God has given us, there are three things that we need to be very, very careful about. And in fact, everything we are going to do and everything we are doing is to deal with these three key things. Number one, ignorance. The reason why many believers have not been able to enter into their place of possession is number one, ignorance. Now, ignorance is stronger than any other weapon of the enemy. The Bible said, for lack of knowledge, do my people perish. What destroys the believer mostly is ignorance. And I remember very well in one of our meetings, I made a statement that what you don't know is what will kill you. What will destroy is what you don't know. So ignorance is one of the things that would prevent us from reaching where God wants us to reach. And ignorance is dealt with what we call knowledge. In the presence of knowledge, ignorance what? Disappears. Number two, immaturity. In the book of Galatians, chapter 5, Paul said that a head, as long as he remained a child, is subjected unto what? Tutors and governors until time of maturity. So listen to this one. A head, as long as he remained a child. So the problem is not being a child, but the problem is remaining as a child. As long as we always want to be in our very level of immaturity, not ready to grow in the things of God, we are creating a stumbling block of reaching to where God wants us to reach. So another thing that prevents the believer from reaching the level that God wants them to reach is immaturity. He refuses how to grow. No father who loves the child with all his heart will give a child a brand new Toyota Camry at the age of 9 years to drive around. Even the government of Ghana will not allow him. So the father can buy a car for him. The father can give him those kind of possessions, but as long as that child remains like a child, there are many things that our parents couldn't do for us when we were young. Because we were not ready, mature to handle them. And I can tell you that there are many things that our parents are not able to do for us now because we have refused to grow. Some people, their parents wish that they could leave their businesses in their hand to run. But when they test your level of maturity, when they leave that business in your hand, in 3 days' time, all the workers will leave. So you could become the managing director of a business, but because you have refused to grow, you remain as a worker in that place. I pray that our immaturity will not be the reason why what God wants to do for us this year will bypass us. So these are some key facts I want us to look at. Then the last one is what we call spiritual conflicts. These are legal accusations or legal grounds for which the devil can prevent you from reaching your height. Now, immaturity and ignorance can be dealt with active teaching and training, but spiritual conflict is fully dealt with in prayer. So you can have all the knowledge, all the skills. You can be mature enough, but if you don't resolve certain conflicts that are legally binding on you in the spirit, you will never get it. So if we understand the place of these three things and take mastery of them, it is in that mastery that we start seeing ourselves taking our rightful places. So if we are not ignorant about the things that God wants to do for us, let me be realistic here.
The problem of many believers is that is not that God doesn't want to bless them all. Practically, they have no knowledge of the things, both, I mean, in the realms of man and the realms of God. I've seen many Christians who started business without even reading a book on business. Yes. He or she said, yes, I've received a prophecy that I'm going to be an entrepreneur, but he or she doesn't know the definition of an entrepreneur. Have no knowledge of the economy in which he or she is operating. Have no knowledge of the kind of networks that can help the industry in which he or she is operating. Because he or she saw that people are doing it, he followed the trend. Haven't you seen that a lot of ladies now have business accounts? The moment you send hi, they're clothing. Why? It's becoming the trend, right? Because that is the trend. The question is, when you enter, what is the knowledge you have about marketing? So although God may have released a word of prophecy upon your life that you're going to break through, because you refuse to have knowledge about that very field that God wants you to break through, you struggle. And even if you are refusing to get a physical knowledge, how much more the spiritual knowledge? You think businesses rise as a result of good management? Go and find the secrets of what people are doing. We've been hearing these stories that on Bibia Koshede, yes, like we've been hearing these stories, right? Go to the marketplace and ask the market women their secrets. They believe that it is the blessings of God that maketh a man prosper and addeth not what to show. So do you understand that blessing? Do you have knowledge of how to activate that blessing upon your life so that you can be able to enter that realm of prosperity? Ignorance will kill you. And that the sad thing is that they will come and blame God for their ignorance and immaturity. The average believer doesn't want to be stretched. He loves to be at the place of comfort. Me, I can't pray for 2 hours. No, it's not my thing. That's the prophet of God. Anytime a prophecy is given to you, you have been called to war. That is why I fear for people who are so eager to receive prophecies. Because anytime God reads something about your chapter and it is publicly declared, war has been declared on you. Because the devil now has an information to fight. So your refusal to grow is tantamount to your distraction. And God will never in any way give you what you are not mature to take. The Bible says, for he gave them the talent according to their abilities. One received 5, another received 2, and 1 according to their abilities. Your capabilities determine the ability to which God can use you. An anointing upon the life of a man is not as a result of only that they God loves them. It's also about their investment to grow. So immaturity, ignorance is going to set in. Now, what we want to deal with this year over here is to make sure that these 3 things don't become a hindrance. So follow what is happening this year. Follow very well. That ignorance, immaturity, and spiritual conflict will not stop you from getting to where God wants you to get to. I can tell you boldly that there is something great coming out this year. Something great is coming our way this year. Something great is coming our way this year. God is going to bless us. Things you have not dreamt of will come your way. But only if you have mastery of these 3 things. So please follow. Don't miss any gathering that we call for. Because each and every gathering and every single thing we are doing this year is to have mastery over ignorance, over immaturity, and the conflicts of spiritual engagements. Last week, Wednesday, we dealt with something very, very critical. And we dealt with the patterns of iniquity. We prayed into it. And I hope you saw the testimony of Francis Kassam on the page. Hallelujah. Let's enter into today's service, sermon, quickly. And I just want us to do a quick recap as an introduction to what we did last week. Number one, we said that I follow it. So I just gave you certain keynote, something to encourage you, to give you the attention on what we are doing over here, so you don't miss out. Now, let's come back to what we are doing. Today, we are going to look at the gifts of faith. Last week, we dealt with the spirit of what? Faith.
Now we're going to look at the gift of what? Faith. As I said to you earlier on, faith has three major manifestations. The first manifestation of faith is the saving faith. The saving faith, salvation. Is that what gives you access to the kingdom of God? I hope you remember. Now, to make it more clear, let's go there. Let's for the sake of those who are joining us today. Last week, we established the origin of what faith. Now, we said faith came as a result of what? The fall of man, right? And the two kinds of what? Realms. Now, in God's wisdom, he created two realms. The realm of eternity and the realm of time. The realm of eternity is God's realm, which we call the spiritual realm. Realm of eternity. The nature of this realm is that everything is now. There is no beginning and there is no end. The realm in which God operates, there is no beginning, there is no end. Another definition of that realm is that in that realm, everything is possible. The spiritual realm is never limited. God can never be limited. The realm of God is never limited. So in the realm of God, everything is possible. That is why Jesus said to them, with men, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Because God's realm, there is nothing like impossibility. So Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. What? Who strengthens me? All things through Christ. So when we are, when we enter, or when we talk about the realm of God, it is that very realm that there is two key things. Number one, it has no beginning, it has no end. Number two, in that realm, there is nothing like impossibility. Then another realm, which is called the realm of time, which man lives in. This realm is limited. And in fact, because of its limitation, it is divided into three phases. We have what? Time what? In the past. We have time in the present. And then we have time in the future. And because of its limitation, many things that happen in this time realm go through process. They go through what? Process. I follow. Now, God created man as the only being to have the right to operate in these two realms. And I spoke that before Adam fell, there was no need for faith. Because Adam was naturally living in both realms. And the evidence was that Adam could see a spiritual tree called the tree of knowledge of what? Good and not evil. And the tree of what? Life. These trees were not physical trees. They were spiritual. Hallelujah. And God could just travel. Now, Adam was in this, that realm says that God could find comfort to come to man at any time of his realm. Because the two realms were together. And Adam could also still live in the earth realm. But when Adam ate of the tree of good of knowledge, which I explained last week, that the basic definition of that tree is independent. Because that seed that was sown was the seed of independence. That became that tree. The Lucifer said, I. The concept I means what? Independence. I will exalt my throne above God. And I will become like the Elohim. When that thought came into his mind, which was a seed, it was sown in that very garden. And the tree that came out of it is called the tree of what? The knowledge of what? Good and evil. And the tree of life is what I said that is the tree that signifies that Christ and I, we are what? We are one. So the Bible said the Spirit of God come to dwell in us and mingle with us. So it said that our spirits and the Spirit of God Christ are what? Father. So the born-again believer cannot be separated from the Spirit of God. The Spirit of the born-again, the regenerated Spirit of the born-again believer, can never be separated from the Spirit of God that is living in him. That is the tree of life. So the principle that established the tree of life was marriage. So God established marriage in the Garden of Eden to tell Adam that as long as you and your wife have become one entity, when you eat from the tree of life, you and I will become what? One. But Lucifer was able to deceive Adam that you don't need to become one with God. He will continue to rule you and influence you. So seek independence. Eat this. The moment Adam heard that, man was activated into the realm of independence. And the spirit in man, which gave him that connection to the things of God, and the eternity realm, was got cut off. So now man could not anymore operate in the realm of God. So man was limited to the time realm. However, God's agenda continues. Hallelujah. So God had interest, and God never gave up on man. In fact, in his pronouncement, he said that he's going to redeem man. So what God did is that he introduced a mechanism called faith. And this mechanism is what has helped man to be able to gradually come to God. So we did all this last week, and I established that in the hall of faith, the first sentence that was made, that it was through faith that the elders, our forefathers, obtained what? Good report. So anybody who had good terms with God was somebody who operated from faith. And the first person was what?
Abel.
Hallelujah. We also established that faith began with revelation from one face to another face. So the definition of faith is accepting God as one and who he is, and accepting his righteousness. I explain righteousness as what? Alignment. Because when man acts, he left God's alignment. So righteousness was to bring man to an alignment so that he can see what is going on and do what God wants him to do. Are you following? Good. I just want to quickly go through this one. So, in the life of the new believer, we were really concentrating on the life of the new believer. In the life of the new believer, faith is accepting God or believing in God as one and accepting his righteousness, who is what? Jesus Christ. The moment you accept that gift, the moment you accept, you are ready to accept his righteousness. When that righteousness enters into you, what it does is that it gives you access to the kingdom of God. So Jesus said to Nicodemus, that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So the first thing that faith is established in the life of a believer is that it gives you access to see the kingdom of God. And we said that this faith is also in the form of what? Seed. Queen Jesus said that if you have faith like what? A mustard seed. So that potential of God to call the impossible possible, when it enters into a believer or a person, the person can do the same. So we establish that by faith are you what? Saved. So the first manifestation of faith in the life of the believer is what? Salvation. And that salvation means you are now granted access to operate in the realms of God. That is our salvation. So the regenerated man is not a man who is going. That's how we come from heaven. The Bible says we are seated in Christ Jesus, far above. So as we are here, we are seated. That is the realm that Adam was. Duality can operate here and operate here. And how are we having this access? It's because faith was ministered to us as a gift. And that is salvation. Now, when we have access, we need mastery to be able to operate the things of that realm. So that mastery is where we start the journey of what? Faith. Are you following me? So when we start the journey of faith, our faith what? Grows. In the book of Colossians, Paul said that I rejoice because your faith grows exceedingly. Sorry, 2 Thessalonians. Your faith grows what? Exceedingly. In the growing of your faith is what was captured in Galatians chapter 6. Chapter 5, rather, verse 23. That the fruit of the Spirit is what? Faith. Other revelations call it what? The prevailing what? Faith. Other translations also call it what? Faithfulness. So the faith that saved you must grow into what? Faithfulness. When it goes into faithfulness, we call it the spirit of what? Faith. When a man enters the realm of the spirit of faith, there is nothing that can stop that man. So Jesus lived the life of the spirit of faith on this earth. That is the realm where people don't live on money. Jesus never had issue with money. Never had issue with transportation. When he needed to cross to the other side, he walked. When there was shortage, he just multiplied. That is the realm of faith. That is, we don't live on the economy of this world. So I mentioned the names of God and some way for other people. These are people who the elements of this earth cannot affect them. When you point a gun at them, because of the realm they're operating for, when you shoot them, they're invisible. These are the people who tell that this is not right. Oh, the spirit of faith. And that is the realm God wants us to go. Do you know why Jesus sat in that boat while there was storm? Because the man knows the realm is operating for that. The sea cannot swallow him. No, the sea will not even try it. He that is above all. He knew that he was above the sea and the angels that operate over there. Because he's operating in a realm that is above all.
So when he sat there and other people who didn't have no knowledge of what was going on, said that Caleb said, oh, you guys, what is it? These things cannot swallow us. The spirit of faith, when a believer is there, that is where the things of this earth do not define what he means. So what people are saying is a casting down, he said, ah, we are lifting up. That's what people think they're not okay. Because we all see that this thing will fail. But we are saying that it is not going to fail. That is the spirit of it. And that is the journey that God wants us to get into. Do we all come into the maturity of what? Christ. The stature of Christ. Operating in that realm of God where nothing is impossible to you. There's a point you come to that you wake up and say that your A is A. Now, what character about the spirit of faith that I like so much? When I was saying about it, is that anybody operating from the spirit of faith can create things on their own just with the word of God. But I was saying, by faith, you know that this world was formed after the word of God. Anybody operating from the spirit of faith, even if it doesn't exist, when he speaks, it will come to pass. Yes. So that was saying that tomorrow by this time, let people talk like that. My sister, my brother, don't try it. They are operating from somewhere. You don't know. We call that place in the spirit realm, which is the spirit of faith. They know what they are saying because that is where they live. They are mature to that level. So they say, tomorrow by this time, this will happen. There is no way God will argue against it. This is the realm that people reach. A.A. Allen. That, I'll never share this story with you. It's a popular story we all know. That a man or a woman was possessed, and for 3 days, they were trying to cast out this demon, and the demon was not going. A.A. Allen, it's A.A. Allen, right? He came to that place, whispered into the ears of the woman. The person got that, just fumbled, fell, grow, and then she's fine. Then they come to him. Ah, what is it? So I told her that A.A. Allen is here. And that is gone. That is the realm you get to that your name is glorified. That is the realm you get to that you, even the name of Jesus will not be needed to be mentioned there because you are there. That was the realm that Archbishop Benson the Oscar told the grand witchcraft that God is busy in heaven. I'm here to show you. The day that Archbishop Benson the Oscar died, witches celebrated because that man was a torment to them. Just his presence. I pray for you. See, there is a place we have to get you. We cannot live in this very realm. Ah, Jesus, my father, Sikata. See, there is a place we will get you. That just you alone, you take cities are fire. So when we allow our faith to grow, we come into that realm of the spirit of faith. Where now it is not about you are believing God, you know God will do it. That is all. There's a difference between believing God and knowing God will do it. So, a faith that is growing believes God. A grown faith knows God will do it. There are two different things. The over conviction that there's no way God will fail because they know what they're seeing. They know what is going to happen. So, when they tell you, 5 o'clock, you die, pack your things, you're dead. Because they know that you are dead. They see the end from the beginning. That is how they operate. Because that is how God operates. He who declares the end from the beginning. So when they say this is done, it is done. There's no two ways to argue with them. That is the principle of the spirit of faith. That is the level that God wants us to come to. Adam was in this realm. Said that when he said God, you are all God. God became gods. The character of God was defined by Adam, not God. When he said you are a liar, he became a liar. Because after that time, Adam was in the spirit realm, in the faith realm of the spirit. And whatever he called this was that. I don't know whatever situation is in your life. But we are turning into a realm where we say that this is it and that will be. Oh, you don't believe it. We are turning into a realm that we will say that this is it and that is it. We are turning into a realm that when we say that this is established, it's established. According to my word, it will be according to your word. I pray for you that you will avail yourself to turn into that realm. You see, the world has made so much mockery of the church and the average individual as a Christian, but we are turning into a realm. When you look into the face of a lecturer, who tells you that if you don't sleep with me, I will not grade you. I said, you have closed the door tomorrow. No, no, sir. And it is done. We are telling to agree that the witches and the wizards of the family who says that you will not travel, you go and tell them that I'm leaving tomorrow. This is my passport. I'm waiting for your airport. You can come and join. You also say you're not married. You tell them, I'll invite you for my wedding next year. Get ready. You are not believing God. You are saying what you know. And that is the road they are telling you to. What we create, think that no exists. We call them forth because we are operating in God's realm. He that is above. He that is above. He that is above. If indeed we are seated with Christ Jesus above all principalities, then I declare in the name of Jesus, we are above all limitations in the mighty name of Jesus. As we journey in this faith realm, as we journey in the maturity of faith, what we call for to come for will come for us. Now, the critical thing we're going to look at today is this. What happens? Now, we are talking of the matured faith. So this is the question. What happens to the believer or the individual who has not yet reached the mature faith, who is now growing in the mature faith, and he or she is also in need of operating in the realms of God? What happens to that believer? God is a wise God. Somebody say, God is a wise God. The truth of the matter is that it takes years and a time of cooperation and obedience with God to get into that realm of faith. Yes, let's be realistic. We are all getting into that realm. We have not gotten there yet. It takes years. So the question is, what happens to you? When we are born in that realm, what happens? How do we cooperate with the things of faith? How do we cooperate with the things of faith when we have not reached that realm yet? And that is where the principle of the gift of faith comes. And today you are living here with an understanding that you can leverage on the mechanism called the gift of faith to reach the realm of all impossibilities and do things. Now, let's begin. Our second scripture that we read, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, is one very critical point that we are going to look at. But before I come over there, this principle of the gift of faith started with a concept, and the verse of which I want to first of all elaborate on. And I want us to look at the four rivers in the garden. The four rivers in the garden. The fullness of the work of the Holy Spirit in the believer manifests as a river. John chapter 7, verse 38 said, "Yet that believe in me, out of their belly shall flow streams of what? Living waters." And in verse 7, said, "This is faith concerning the Holy Spirit." So the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, when it reaches maturity, when the Holy Spirit works in the life of the believer to maturity, the evidence of that is what? The flow of river. Let's read this verse. Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 3 to 5. Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 3 to 5. This manifestation of the realm of the Spirit, which is called the Spirit of Faith, is a full work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. When the believer reads that realm, it got manifest. So we're going to look at, read. I'm talking about the flow of the river.
Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 3 to 5.
Yes.
"And when the man went out the east to the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits and he brought me through the waters."
Now, what's the journey of Ezekiel in the operation of the prophet, the spirit, realm? He said that when the man measured, I was above the knee. Next.
"The water came out to my ankles."
So the water came out towards my ankles. Then
again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters.
He measured another 1,000. So this measurement is what? Growth. Are you following? So he was going from what? The knee to the what? From the ankle towards the knee. So I said the further growth. So now he moved toward the knee level. See, I have not got it there. Let's continue.
"The water came out to my knees."
Uh-huh.
"Again, he measured 1,000.
So another growth
what? Process was ministered to him, and then he grew again. So that investment was taken.
And he brought me through. The water came out to my waist.
So he said he brought him on to that process, training, growth. Now let's go to your waist.
Again, he measured 1,000.
Another one.
And it was a river that I could
cross. And now it was what? A river that he could cross. So the full work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, when it comes to maturity, flows as a river out of your belly. It shall flow. So when faith has fully matured, the flow of the things of the Spirit is like a river. Hallelujah. So when the believer cooperates with the Holy Spirit to work on him into maturity, the expression of that achieved training is the flow of the river. So out of your belly shall flow streams of living waters. When water flows, it waters every place. It reaches out to people. It becomes life to people. People drink out of it. So the outflow of the believer is as a meeting of what? Maturity. Now let's continue. Therefore, the complete work of the Holy Spirit, and this is, we are talking about the Holy Spirit here. Are you following? Now, the complete work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer is defined by a similitude of what we call the four rivers in the garden. Now let's read Genesis chapter 2 verse 10.
Genesis chapter 2 verse 10.
Uh-huh.
Now a river went out from Eden to water the garden.
Now a river, do you remember John chapter 7? So this is spake concerning us, the Holy Spirit, said out of there shall flow streams of water. So said the water went out of the garden,
and from it, and from there it parted and became four rivers.
So the water parted and became what? Four rivers. So it's one water flowing in four directions. Yes, let's read. What is the name?
The name of the first is Pishon.
It's called Pishon.
It is the one which gets the whole land of Havilah,
uh-huh.
Where there is gold.
Uh-huh.
And the gold of that land is good.
So, if you go, make time and read, I want us to move fast. If you go, make time and read Genesis chapter 2, verse 10 to 14, you see the four characteristics of these four rivers. Now, this was a similitude of the activity of the Holy Spirit. He comes as one source, but divides into four. And I'm going to show you scriptures. Follow me. We are heading towards the gifts of the Spirit. It comes as one source, but part into four ways. Therefore, the complete work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer is seen in four dimensions. Four. Complete work. Four dimensions. Or four sentiments. Hallelujah. Now, these four rivers represent four sentimental flow of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. Let's look at it.
Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 and 2.
Yes.
There shall come forth the reward from the stem of Jesse.
Uh-huh.
And the branch shall grow out of him.
Now he's talking about Jesus. Let's watch how Jesus' manifestation on earth was done. Yes.
The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him.
Hold on. Look at where the comma is and count it. How many comma will you have? Isaiah 11, verse 1 to 2. That's the first comma. The Spirit of the Lord, right? That's the first. Then continue.
The Spirit of wisdom and understanding.
So you see, he said the Spirit of wisdom, and he didn't separate them. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, that they are together. That's the second. Uh-huh.
The Spirit of counsel and might.
The Spirit of counsel and what? Might. Two, three, right? Uh-huh.
The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord.
These are the four major rivers that flows in the believer. So the Spirit of the Lord is a major river. The Spirit of what? Wisdom and knowledge is together. Another what? River. The Spirit of what? Counsel and might is also another what? River. And the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord is also another river. This was designed in the similitude of what was happening in the Garden of Eden. Four rivers. If you make your time, I said, if you go make time and you read Genesis chapter 2, verse 10, you see the character, and I'm going to talk about this one. You see the same characters. Follow me very well. So for the Holy Spirit to achieve the holistic work in the life of the believer, he divides into four segments. And this is the growth we are talking about. Now,
These four segments, or these four dimensions of the Holy Spirit, breaks into the seven spirits of God, the seven candles of God, the Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of what? Understanding, Spirit of what? Might, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of the fear of the Lord, and Spirit of what? This seven spirit is also called the seven streams of God. So from the water, we come to the river, we come to the stream. Are you following? So the Holy Spirit is very progressive in your growth. And now when we come to the stream, we have what we call the tree trees. The many branches from the stream. So when somebody is born again, the tree trees will be triggered. These tree trees, some are the activations of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So a tributary like the word of knowledge can be activated in somebody. And when these are put together, the fancy into one out flow of a stream. And when these streams are put together, they come to form one river. And when the rivers come together, you see one source of water flow. This is how God, in Judith's way, develop the river. Now, what is the place of the river called the Spirit of the Lord? The Spirit of the Lord is the river that activates the authority of God in the life of the river. You can never operate in authority when the flow of the Spirit of the Lord is not on. And anytime you see prophets rising to challenge authorities and kings, you are, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon you. Whenever the Spirit of the Lord comes upon a person, it brings boldness. The ability to dare, the authority to step into something. So the Lord says that God, the righteous is as bold as lion. What makes him bold is because there's a flow of river called the Spirit of God, the Lord. Are you following? I said we heard it all of the gates of it. Follow me. Number two, the second river is what? The river of what? Wisdom and revelation. When wisdom and revelation is in maturity, what you see is what we call life. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17 said that for this cause I pray that God will give you the Spirit of God, wisdom and all understanding, that you may what? Know. Revelation is born when wisdom and understanding works together. So another dimension of growth in the believer is what we call revelation. So from authority you come to what? Revelation. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit wants to build the believer in revelation, he activates the spirit of what? Wisdom. And the spirit of what? Understanding. We just add that to you. They will come together to build the believer in what? Revelation. Because you need revelation to operate in your authority. So they are not independent. They work together. Number three, we have what? Might and what? Counsel. Might and counsel come together to produce what we call power. The ability to do is as a result of the spirit of might and the spirit of counsel. The job of the spirit of counsel is to tell you what to do today. It gives you the detail by which work to do. And the spirit of might is that the ever strength of God that comes on you. So when you see somebody demonstrating power, is because the person is now full with the spirit of God, counsel and what? Now the last river is what? The spirit of what? The knowledge and the fear of God. This will use character. It takes knowledge and the fear of God to grow in character. So a believer who is having issues with character, if you check, you will see two things: lack of knowledge and not fear of God. There are many things we do, if we fear God, we don't do them. There are many things you know, we know, we don't know it. So the character works out to bring about the power. And the power works together with the revelation. The authority is what? Established. All these things are in the spirit dimension of God. So this is how the Holy Spirit works in the life of the believer.
I have mentioned the seven streams, right? So these seven streams are developed one after the other to come together to form a river. Now, out of this is what flows out of you. So authority does not flow by accident. It flows as a result of a work done on you. Revelation does not flow. So the water out of the abyss shall flow. Streams of living waters. He's talking about this four expressions: authority, revelation, power, and character. So a mature believer is a believer who operates with authority, who operates with revelation, who operates with power, and has character. Look at the life of Jesus. You see these four things. He was a man of authority. A man who has power over the things of his head. And a man without a character. And in fact, when they brought him for accusation, they couldn't find anything against him. He said to his disciples, "The prince of darkness cometh, but found nothing in me." I pray that that will be a testimony of us. That we have grown in the knowledge of God and in the fear of God. That when the enemy cometh and set us, there's nothing of his in us. All these things are the spirit realm. So the question is, how do the believer start growing into this? I told you the spirit of faith is the spirit realm. So now this is the place of gifts. Since these things I've mentioned will require some years and time to develop in you, God brought up a mechanism that is able to help the believer to be able to operate in them once he grows them. This mechanism is what we call the gifts of the Spirit. Now let me define the gift of the Spirit to you. The gift of the Spirit are divine advantage give it to a believer to engage God's realm. Whilst we grow, engage God's realm temporarily, the word, key word, temporarily. Whilst we grow, to operate permanently in our realm. God wants us to operate in the spirit of the Lord. God wants us to operate in the spirit of our wisdom. Now, note, all the gifts of the Holy Spirit are in the of the spirit realm. For example, the spirit, the gift of faith is a product of God's might and counsel. It comes from, it is a tributary of might and counsel. The word of knowledge comes from wisdom and revelation, wisdom and understanding, or word of knowledge, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, prophecy, they come from what? Understanding and wisdom. Healing, miracles, all comes from might and wealth, counsel. So the gift of the Spirit is a spiritual mechanism that gives the young believer an advantage to temporarily operate in that spiritual realm whilst you grow into it. And this principle is established in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's read it. Let me show you. Yeah, verse 2. Let's go. Listen very well.
For in this we grow earnestly.
For in this we grow earnestly,
desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven.
Desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is what?
Heaven.
From where?
Heaven.
So Paul saying that there is a way that we can desire that we will be clothed with our habitation. That means that there's a place we are supposed to sit in heaven, but we have not been able to reach there. But there is a what we can desire that realm will cover us and clothe us. What is the principle of glory to cover? You don't wear the clothes always. Is that right? After such, you know it. So that it is for a temporal purpose. So we desire that habitation will clothe us. Continue.
If indeed having been clothed,
if indeed that cloth come on us,
we shall not be before naked.
We shall not be followed naked. Now, when we talk of nakedness, there are two forms of nakedness. Nakedness into shame and nakedness into fear. Nakedness of fear is when man is limited and in fact, the power of God is on man. When Adam ate the fruit, The first time you told them, I don't have your voice, I was ashamed of what? Because I was what? Naked. So when man is naked, this man is out of no power, is out of power. There is nothing of the spirit operating in the life of the person. But we can desire a provision that has been made for us whilst we are growing and put it on as a grow. That nakedness will cover and there will not be shame. It is in that clothing that we can be able to approach the devil. Because something has covered us. Can you continue?
For we who are in this next grown, being burdened not because we want to be unclothed, but further growth. That mortality.
Take your time. Said, for we those what?
For we who are in this tent.
For we who are in this tent, the tent he's talking about is the body. Our physical body, right?
We grow.
We grow.
Being burdened. Not because we want to be unclothed.
Not because we want to be unclothed. What is that? Not because we want to die and leave this tent. But there's a reason, right?
But further clothed. That mortality.
That mortality shall be swallowed by immortality. What is going to say is that our limitation or oppression as a result of we growing God will be swallowed at that very instance that we can operate in impossibility. That's the principle of the gift of God, the law of the Spirit. So if I want to operate in a realm of faith and I am not capable because of mortality, I can grow and place a demand because that mechanism is possible. And at that instant, I can operate in that very realm. This is an advantage that the believer has that nobody has. That within a twinkle of an eye, a situation can happen and the believer can move back and begin to grow and mantle, be like a sire. Let Bravo then say, let's do this. What happened? At that instance, he accessed the spirit of wisdom, downloaded the counsel of God, that an immortality has gone over, has grown on mortality. A different realm has been released over his head, and therefore he's not speaking. When it is that he can't love his normal self, that is a mechanism. Many believers don't know this, that we can bless the man. Oh, Vela Masukaya. When we are in times of need. So in the book of Hebrews chapter 6, chapter 4, verse 11, says, now let us get bold before the throne room of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in times of need. Whenever we come before the throne room of grace, what we do is that we place the man, that our habitation, our realm of operation, that we are not yet ready, yet we need it to operate now, can be released for a temporary purpose, for a temporary cause. So when a believer is and needs to be released, he places a demand, then that is released to cover the mortality. And immortality is released. Ah. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Oh my God. Now continue.
Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee.
Uh-huh.
So we are always confident.
Wait, I told you. This way of oppression was guaranteed and signed by the Spirit. I follow him. Said, he has given us the Holy Spirit to guarantee us this access. The reason why the baptism of the Holy Ghost came upon the believer is because for the efficiency and the activation of the gift of God. The gift of the Spirit, so that's the baptism, the purpose of the baptism. You know that there are two forms of baptism. The in baptism, that is the character of God, the Spirit of God in you. But I'm talking about the upon baptism. It came on the believer to guarantee the believer that access when it becomes a need once he grows. Continue.
So we are always confident.
So we are always what? The reason why I'm not confident is because you don't know that there's a provision in scripture, a provision in the kingdom of God. When you are limited, because you are man is limited, you can activate that provision by the guarantee of the Holy Spirit. To take this for your favor, you don't know. So always your confidence is out. But a believer who has this key knows that when there is a time of limitation and there's a time that I cannot go beyond my faith, what I have now, I can place a demand that my habitation will be released as a crow, that my nakedness will be It's my prayer this morning. But that guarantee will be activated one more time. Will you come out of us here?
Knowing that while we are at home in the body,
knowing that while we are at home in the body, eh?
We are absent from the Lord.
Oh, Bella, must you get tired? This is the confidence we have that once we are home, means that we are not there. We are out. We are not physically. We are not there. We are not. We are still with the Lord. We are with the Lord because a provision and a guarantee is given unto us that in times of need we can activate it. I pray for you. As you read here, any limitation, any challenge, anything that has kept you from moving, there is a guarantee. There is a provision in the spirit that you can raise again. You don't need to get to that level of spiritual maturity, of might and counsel to raise them. When the need rises that the dead must be raised, you can place a demand that your immortality will be released unto you. That wrath of God will pray. And this is the confidence you have that when you face challenges, you can place for a man. So the unbeliever is not like me. We can all be in the same situation. But there's a way I can trigger something in the realm of the spirit. Though I've not got it to that level to operate, I can activate and make a request that my account will be credited with that. And we have the Holy Spirit as the guarantee. Now, read the last verse.
For we walk by faith.
For we do what?
We walk by faith.
And not by heart. So the whole thing we're talking about is about faith. That there's a way we can place the man in the realms of the spirit, which is called the gift of faith. Oh, thank you, Namaste. Yes, you may not enter, we are not in the realm of the spirit of faith yet. You are not going to that level where you know, you only believe. But I'm here to release unto you a dimension of God called the gift of faith. That you don't only need to live in the realm of believing, but there's a way you can place a demand that you'll be guaranteed and knowing very well that God will do this, and that your confidence will be bold. The Bible says, for the righteous is bold as a lion. This economy will not intimidate us. That program will not intimidate you. Some of you are in the time of your life where you think that this thing can never work. But I speak in the name of Jesus, by the guarantee of the Holy Spirit. In that time of limitation, we will place a demand that let the cloud of heaven fall on us. Let that temporal mechanism be given. That will prevail. Oh. So when you go, you see your parents, anybody sick, and you know that it's an affliction of the devil. Yes, you have not entered the realm of healing. You know that spirit of might. But you can say, oh God, can I place a demand on that cloak now? Can it be released unto me? And with that confidence, you lay your hands and rebuild that spirit. And you see that it's healing. It was that guarantee that Jesus gave to the apostles in the book of Matthew chapter 10. Said, heal the sick, raise the dead. When they went out, they came and said, even the demons bow unto us. Why? Because a mechanism was granted unto them. This was what the Old Testament prophets, the priests, and the kings were operating with. And the Bible said, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon them, and they started operating. Samson was not a better man than you, but it is the mechanism of God in heaven. What we can engage the rest of the Spirit for a temporary reason, for the cause of the kingdom, that makes Samson a mighty man. It is time we know what is given to us. It is time we know what we can press for to you. We cannot be living this life of being scared. Oh, man, be aside. Who art thou, O mountain, before the Lord? That seest the word of the Lord, you shall become a plain land. I declare in the name of Jesus, nothing will limit you in 2023. Because there is a provision in the realms of the Spirit that our immortality will be swallowed by immortality. Anything that is meant to limit you, I declare in the name of Jesus. Man, that was aside. So that is why the gift of the Spirit is being released. I don't need to be a mature Christian to minister healing. When it's a need for me to do so, I can please any man. Whilst I grow into it. Now the question is, how can you use something effectively to have a taste of it? That's why God will give you a taste. That, the reason why God wants you, make them a cancer that believer can have a taste of what it is to be in that place so that you can yearn and desire more. So you can be there, understand these circumstances. You begin to pray. There's some confidence will come upon you. Then move forward and do something. Say, this thing is possible. Can I press more for it? So the more you press it, the more you grow confidence. That's what we grow in the gift of God. The gift of God has given. The gift of the Holy Spirit, we grow in it. Because the more we press more for it, the more we press it for it, the more we grow in confidence in using it. And as we grow in confidence, we are also growing to permanently live in that realm. I don't know what is your desire this morning, but I desire all the spiritual gifts. I desire them. That I can be able to discern when the time is needed. Sometimes, I told you that there are certain situations and people you meet in your life, if God has not helped you, if God has not helped you, but at that moment you can exclude yourself. Joshua, with all his level of growth, Joshua, with all his level of understanding of the things of God, was trained by the Gibeonites. But you will not be trained. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. When the person comes and appear, and you are not able to decode the person, you can walk back and begin to speak in tongues. Let Rakumpe Lassai. Oh, Kapina Makumpe Lassai. In Tumpele Abdaka. Instantly, something will be triggered in you. That is the Spirit of God. Oh, and the Spirit of God will carry you to the realm of the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. And your eyes will open. This is a barker. In 10 years, I will destroy your life. So it looks very good. It looks very fine. He said, I can't marry you. Your parents said, what is wrong with you? They didn't see what you saw. They didn't see what you saw. But you pressed forth because there was an advantage for you. This is how you escape bad marriage. Watch your calling to walk into it. This is how you escape bad business. Watch others are walking into it. This is how you escape death. Watch others are taking. Because you can be able to press forth into a position. The gifts of faith.
Oh, are you here with me? Are you here with me? Therefore, the gift of faith is God's supernatural manifestation in the life of a person at a particular moment to believe God for the extraordinary. Did you know we got this auditorium? It is faith. And the faith that went there was the gift of faith. I'm not teaching what I don't practice. Ask my wife. Sometimes it may look like, when I see that limitation, and I know, no, this one, I press what? In that realm, when I speak, because in the realm of faith, the spirit of faith, we create things. What we want to tell this story, what we have in the church account was 4,000. What do we need 12,500? In 1 week, 12,500 was raised. This is not magic. A man knew what he can do in the realms of the spirit and person. You are here and you are poor because you don't know provisions made for you. You are crying because you don't have confidence that there is a guarantee for you. Leave this place away. Go to your place of closet in prayer. Whatever thing, I want you to start thinking about it. Something that you have been looking for to overcome and you are not able to do it. There is a guarantee. There is the Spirit of God that can come upon you, which is called the gift of faith. That at that temporal moment, you can believe God. Miracles, signs, and wonders happen because of the release of the gift of faith. Excellent. What have you been told? That you can't travel. I want you to believe God for the extraordinary. It is time that we press forward into that. It is time we press forward into that. I don't know who I'm talking to, but the devil has bullied you for long. The devil has bullied you for long. That you have always accepted the minimum. You have always been so inferior because you don't know that there is a realm of God. That the gifts of God are operating. I'm talking about the gift of faith. Faith does not create, but faith gave the atmosphere for creation. If you have faith, you can see. If you don't have it, you cannot see it. That is why we need the supernatural gift of God, called the gift of faith, so that we can see what we want to see. I don't know what you want to see in 2023, but I have faith for you that I want to see you prosper. Paul said, I wish above all things that you prosper, even after your soul prosper. This is my declaration for you, under the atmosphere of faith, that this is what I have for you. Because faith has been released, how you need to create your own future. Can you stand up in the next 2 minutes and begin to create a future now? But there's an atmosphere of faith now. I don't know what you want to see, but when there is faith, you can say it. Press forth right now that you'll be clothed with an immortality.
grace. That in difficult moment of limitations, the Spirit of God, by His mercy, will release the gift of faith that we now believe God for extraordinary. This year of extraordinary is in our life.
Peter said, "Look unto me." And Peter, out of the atmosphere of the gift of faith,
said, gold and silver have I not, but what have I give you? That instant a miracle was done. I don't know what miracle you're looking for. Some of you think I can't get a visa. I tell you, in the atmosphere of the spirit of impossible, and if you're not going to that place, the gift of faith can give you that grace. May you begin to press forth. May you begin to press forth. You have a guarantee that Holy Spirit is your guarantee. So he said, well, we grow. And that takes me to the last part of this concept. How do we activate the gift of faith? He said, we grow desire. Somebody say desire.
Desire.
First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. Read it for me. First Corinthians. Lebra Koshaya. First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. Shabra Dakasana.
First Corinthians 12, verse 1. You should all constantly boil over with passion. Seeking the higher gifts.
Did he say that we should constantly what? We won over with what? Passion. To seek the what? The higher gifts.
And now I will show you a superior way to live that is beyond comparison.
Marco Velasana. Give me First Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1 in King James. How do we activate this realm? Paul said that we grow earnestly.
First Corinthians 14:1.
Yes.
Pull up the charity. And desire spiritual gifts.
Desire what?
Spiritual gifts.
Is the gift of faith a spiritual gift? The only mechanism by which we can activate the gift of faith is what we desire. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, said, we grow earnestly. We grow. Then he said, any will I see thee, my soul test after thee. But we begin to grow in the spirit, pressing God in the spirit. The gift of faith will be released. The things of God do not happen accidentally. There are mechanisms for them. It is time to grow right now. It is time to grow. Oh my God. It is time. This is a year of growth. This is a year of growth. I don't know what you are looking up to God. I want an extraordinary life in 2023. I want extraordinary happiness in 2023. The only guarantee is that when I have access to the gift of faith, and therefore I'm going to desire it, I'm going to press forth into the gifts. I'm going to pray. I'm going to grow. That the extraordinary shall come upon me. Oh, Kilabasai. What people are looking for, job, people will be looking for me to work for them. You don't believe it. Oh, I'm that I must see it. David was not the only instrumentalist in Israel, but when they needed a man who could play, that the king will be released from the reward, they said for him, it is time that people look for us. The Bible says, for goodness and mercy shall follow us. I pray for you. We have to start growing. What people are chasing lecturers for grace. Lecturers will be looking for you. Who are you? What can I do for you? It is not that people start looking for us. I said that's all they can do for us. What people are doing all sorts of things to get promotion. We will go into the place of groaning and Abi Masakaya. What our bosses are on their bed, God will make them trouble like in Azazel that they cannot sleep until they remember the book of God, until they go for the book of remembrance. There's a round of going to. This is a year of extraordinary life. If you don't want it, you don't belong to this church. If you don't want to live a life of extraordinary, don't live here. Don't belong here. But if you belong here, then it's a time for you to grow. It's a time for you to grow. It's a time for you to grow. We want to pray that, oh God, I want the impact of the gift of faith. We want to grow this morning and speak in touch and press forward into the things of God. Paul said, follow after love. But desire spiritual gifts. We want to flow in the rivers. So we want to place a demand that mortality will be swallowed by immortality. Hey! That our nakedness will be covered. Let's go. Something has happened to us before.
Yeah. Oh.
so glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.